Our sermon text this evening, very short, from the Psalm 107, verse 1. You may recognize this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. This is the word of our God. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Friends in Jesus, not too long ago, I saw a video where a stranger left $1,000, hard cash, out for a homeless person to find and pick up. The whole point of the exercise and the video was to see now what was that homeless person going to do? What was going to happen next? And this is what happened. This homeless man picked up the cash, and even though this person looked entirely different and was dressed entirely different and wore entirely different clothes and could have very easily walked off with that cash, actually came back to the stranger and gave the money back because of that honest act. And this was also the point of the video. The stranger who left the money said, no, you keep it. That's actually really cool that you brought that money back, but you keep it now. That was the point. This is a video and this money is yours. What was really interesting after that, except for the tears and the hugging and the joy of that homeless man, was what he did next. He said, this can't be true. And he tried to give it back. He couldn't believe it. Now I wondered, what would I do if someone gave me $1,000 and I have a home? And if I saw $1,000, would I give it back? What would be my first reaction? What would be yours? Would you try to give it back? This can't be true. This can't be right. Something's wrong. What if that was not $1,000? What if it was $20 million? Something that would maybe set you for most of your life, if not the rest of your life. Then what? Would you give it back? Would you walk off with it? Would you say, this can't be right? Well, God has given you much more than that. Think about it. God has given you eternal life to walk away with for free. He hasn't charged you anything. He's credited to your account by faith and by faith alone. In fact, if you tried to earn it, you couldn't. You're not allowed to. And I wonder if when we sit down at the table and we fold our hands, and we say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. We really think about how rich we are. I wonder if we really think about the God we're thanking and how generous he's been for us. And I wonder if tomorrow on this Thanksgiving day, this special time where we're supposed to give thanks, if we'll be thinking more about the sports or the feast, or the family, or what comes next in the day, the activities, the fact that we have a day off work, when we sit down and we fold our hands and we pray, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. I wonder if the prayer just kind of gets in the way sometimes. So we either skip it, or we make sure we cram it right at the front, which isn't necessarily bad if we pray, come Lord Jesus, and then we'll give thanks right together. That's sort of a trendy thing to do. But it's certainly not something in the way. Just think of the privilege and joy of gratitude today. Let's dwell on that prayer. Let's consider what it means for us and how privileged we are to fold our hands and to say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Now, you might not have known it. You probably knew this was a Lutheran prayer. You possibly knew it was at the end of the small catechism when Martin Luther wanted to instruct the people how to pray. But did you know this was in the Bible? It's in Psalm 107 and a few other places. And it's an interesting psalm because these people have much to thank God for. They've come back from the exile in Babylon. That's what Psalm 105, 106, and 107 are all about. And they are home. The remnant has returned. God promised that a few would come back, even though because of their idolatry, because of how terrible they were, because they brought false gods into the temple, because they worshipped in the high places, they worshipped the stars, the king sacrificed at these golden calves, and they were doing the sacrifices instead of the priests. Because of all of that building up, God had sent them into exile, but he has now brought them back after 70 years. And they called it a redemption, a winning back, a bringing back of God's people from time to time in the Old Testament. They called it a redemption. And how thankful they were to know that after all this time, after being off in a strange land, God was alongside them. When they were carried off and they were brought back home, God had never left them. And so the first thing I'd just like to point out in our sermon text today is the one we thank. Because maybe that's sometimes what we forget when we fold our hands and we pray this prayer and it's sort of thoughtless. We're beginning to lose trust in the one we thank. Or we've forgotten all of the things about him that make us thank him. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. This is a special name for God, by the way. Sometimes you see it in lowercase capital letters. I'm not really sure if it's trying to be lowercase or not. Well, that's because it's reflecting the Hebrew special name for God that the Jews would never say, his name Yahweh or Jehovah. His name for being a very covenant-keeping, caretaking, free and faithful God. The Lord didn't have to take care of people, but he does. He didn't have to choose a people and bring them out of Egypt and then bring them back from Babylon in captivity, but he did. Because he's the Lord. That's what he does. And it's very important for us to notice that it's not just, oh, give thanks to the great universe out there. It's not just, oh, give thanks to the laws of physics. It's not just, oh, give thanks to the supercomputer that might be at the heart of it all. But to know that there is a conscious, working God who knows and is aware and is conscious of when we say, oh, give thanks. The universe could care less. It's just doing its job. It's just following God's laws. But the Lord knows when we say, oh, give thanks. He's the same God whose eye is on the sparrow and who clothes the lilies of the field. He's the same God who takes care of you. He knows all of the hairs on your head. He sends his angels to protect you when you're out on the road, for instance, on a busy weekend like this. And it is bad. I've been out there. It's the same Lord who's following you, who's leading you and guiding you, who surrounds you. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so is the Lord our God. We'll give thanks. You feel a pulse of joy now when you pray that prayer. This is the Lord, I say, oh, give thanks to. And you might actually say, there's no worse insult than being an ingrate. If you weren't thankful and someone said, well, you're just an ingrate. Why would that be the worst insult? I think an ingrate is capable of any possible crime. You have nothing holding you back. The world's been cruel and angry at you. Of course, you have a history of ingratitude, and what wouldn't you do? Except, and the only restraint you would have is for fear of self-preservation. To watch out for self. And that would be the opposite of thankfulness, wouldn't it? To be an ingrate. And what a sorry companion you would be through life. But maybe sometimes that's who we are through life. In fact, I guarantee it. Because I know of a little thing called sin, which is actually blown up into a great big problem. There's something that's corrupted all people of all time that really should make us think, you know, I'm not surprised people aren't thankful. And I'm not surprised that there are times I'm not thankful. I'm not surprised when I'm not counting my blessings. I'm not surprised when I'm not following God's instruction of praying continually. I'm not surprised when Sin has gotten so bad that it could even separate a family because of how thankless we've been. But it's also a good key to the opposite end, the other side of the spectrum. If I am thankful, all of a sudden, if you count your blessings, you might actually find that you can walk through life more happily, can't you? You know your sins, you know your temptations, you struggle with those. But also as a redeemed child of God, you can fight this by walking through life with a little bit of gratitude. Not too long ago, I was feeling a little sick, and I thought, you know, I think my new man took over and drowned my old Adam in my baptism and said, you know what, thank God for this sickness. Who am I that I deserve to even have a body? Who am I that I deserve to even have a God who cares for me, who's given me so much? Thank God. Thank God that I get to suffer this now, because he's probably teaching me something. And after praying that prayer, thank you, God, the sickness kind of withered away and disappeared. Now, that's not always going to happen, but even in times of hardship, even in times of sickness, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for he's the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, my God of free and faithful love. Now, who is allowed to pray this prayer? We could keep on going in our psalm and read, let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them in their distress. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Those are the people who get to pray this prayer. The redeemed. Those who've been bought back and brought back. And we see that in the second half of our sermon text too. The reason we give thanks. We already know the one to whom we give thanks. Now, how about the reason? The very reason we give thanks. We say, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Right? That's the second half of the prayer. And what you'll find is two reasons. And they're both love words. The first one, for he is good. And believe it or not, that is a word of love for God in the Bible. The Hebrew word is tov, if you're interested. That God is good. That God would be a God of goodness is actually quite offensive to some people in this world. Maybe that's why they don't give thanks to God. But this is the God of goodness who lets us pray prayers like this. Later on in the Psalms, remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Or this one in Psalm 31, how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. So God is good. God isn't just watching things fall apart and laughing. God hasn't just set the world on a spin and let it go. God is mindful, and God is good. And God's goodness and kindness, he means to direct in your path for you. The second love word is the word for mercy. Chesed. That's how you say it. Chesed. It's kind of a fun one to say in Hebrew. There's more than one word for mercy in the Old Testament scriptures, and the New Testament too. There's quite a few words for mercy. But this word emphasizes God's constancy. God is always there with his love. It's not a goodness that starts and stops. It's not a love that initiates and doesn't complete. It's not just an author, but a finisher kind of God, and his love is mercy for you. Sometimes it's called faithful love, and that's the way that it's translated. It's a pretty good reason to thank God, isn't it? We're coming up on Christ the King Sunday. It's a king who offers mercy. It's probably a really good picture for how we think of the word mercy. It's a king who lets prisoners free. It's a king who listens to a humble peasant and grants it just purely out of his own mercy. It's a king who's merciful to someone who's done wrong. It's a king who has the power to make mercy happen. And in view of the mercy of our king, that's when we overflow with thankfulness, brothers and sisters. Because our king is very special. Because the God of mercy has been very much interested in our end. Not just our origin, not just who we are, but our forever and what's happening next. Without a God of mercy, we wouldn't know where we came from, where we're going, and what the finality of it is. But we have a God of mercy who's given us his word, who's revealed his heart to us, a God who's gone to the cross for us, a God who suffered and died for us, even the times when we weren't so thankful, even the times when we were forgetful of him. Even first commandment sins, God has died for and paid for you, so that now he could send his spirit into your heart and mercifully be your God. You don't really know this God unless you know Jesus. No one's seen him except God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, who's made him known to us. Our Savior, Jesus. There's no other way to the Father. A lot of people think they know God because they know of goodness, but brothers and sisters, we know more. We know of a Savior who loves us. We know of the Son of God in whom all fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form. We know of a God of mercy because we know that our Savior sacrificed himself for us. And he didn't have to do that, but he did. And he gave us much more than $1,000 or $20 million. So my encouragement to you tonight, just as you received Christ, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you were taught. Overflow with thanksgiving. Be a cornucopia of thanksgiving. You know what I'm talking about? Those horns of plenty. This almost looks like it, but it's a basket. You see the fruit and the vegetables tumbling out. What if this was you? And what if tumbling out was not fruit and vegetables, hopefully, but thanksgiving? Words of praise. Glory be to God. What if this Thanksgiving, when your family saw you, they weren't thinking about your normal Thanksgiving routines, but they were thinking, glory be to God, so that they could see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven, overflowing with thanksgiving, because once again the joy has returned when we say this prayer, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen.